Welcome to the Change Your World Virtual Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you one of the top speakers in the world, Ms. Katrina Sawa. Katrina, why don't you take it from here?
Awesome. Thanks, Tanya. So today I'm talking about stop avoiding your follow-up is my topic, because so many of you I know are avoiding your follow-up. And so it's one of my most requested talks, actually. For some reason, everybody wants to know about follow-up, but nobody still wants to do it. So what I try to do is to make it easy for people to do your follow-up and or systematize it, automate it, or delegate it. Because let's face it, if you go to a lot of networking events like I do, you have way too much follow-up to do. So usually what I'm talking about here with follow-up is follow-up from a live event. It could be an event that you're speaking at, or an event that you're an exhibitor at. It can be an event that you attend as an attendee and network at. It could be a small 20-person event. It could be a 2,000-person conference. Okay, it doesn't matter the type of an event, but you need to follow up in a couple different ways from those events. And if you're sitting at your desk with a ton of different business cards all over it, left and right with stacks and stacks from this event and that event and this event and that event, then you're probably missing out on thousands of dollars in sales because you haven't done effective follow-up. So I know a lot of you know what to do, but sometimes people come to me and say, okay, I know I need to send emails, I know I need to follow up in the mail, I know I need to follow up the phone call. Usually what's stopping them is what to say on all those places. So I try to fill in the what to say. And granted, it can be a little bit different for all of you depending on what your focus is or who your target audience is and what your business is. But really generally, it's following up to drive them to the next step in your business. What is that next step for you? Right? And follow up is a warm call or a warm touch. It's not a cold call or a cold touch. That's called cold calling, right? So I'm not talking about going out and reaching out to people you don't know or you've never met. It's to people that you've met, even if it's just for a brief second and grab their business card, or if you stop by their table display at a trade show, you still have made a connection, okay? And it's a warm follow-up. Now, you can use these strategies in following up from a group of people on social media or following up from say I wanted to reach out to all the speakers on today's summit, right? I could go to all their websites, get all their information, and follow up with them and say, hey, we run the same summit together. I'd love to see how we can help each other. Let's get on a phone call, right? So you can follow up from many different opportunities, and you have a reason to do that if it makes sense. That's why we call it follow up, not cold calling, all right? So I just want you to think about that first, all the places you go and people you have access to that you could potentially, quote unquote, follow up from, all right? And how do I know how to do this? Well, I've been in business for 13 years as a business and marketing coach, and that's all I did in the first 3 years of my business was networking and follow up. That's all I did. I didn't know that I could get clients all over the world. I didn't have any opportunity to do virtual calls like this because it just wasn't happening 13 years ago, or at least I didn't know about it. Okay, so I had no idea. I barely had a website. It wasn't very functional, right? So I was just maximizing my local area with networking events and follow-up. And I just became really, really good at follow-up. I had clients telling me, you know, stop sending me stuff in the mail because I've got your business card in every room of my house and office, right? And that's what you want, right? At some point, I was sending all kinds of letters and direct mail pieces and postcards and things like that. And I still send direct mail pieces, and I highly recommend it 100% for almost every single business owner, because it stands out. Most people are not doing direct mail these days, and they should be. They want to try to save money, so they're just doing email, or they're doing social media, or maybe phone calls if you're lucky. But doing that direct mail is that step that, yes, costs money, but very little money. If you're only following up with a couple dozen or a couple hundred people a month, it's not that huge of an expense if you keep it down and you have it systematized, okay? But it's crucial because you'll probably be the only person following up via mail with people that you've met in person. All right, really, honestly. So don't leave this part out. So I want to just kind of review. So now, I mean, you kind of know that you should be doing it. So how can we make it easier for you to make sure it gets done? The number one thing is typically you're probably going to need to delegate some of this stuff because you're just not going to be able to do it. You're not going to be able to do it all yourself. Think about all the times you've tried to do it and not accomplished it. Well, it's time to delegate that. I tell my clients, if you try to do something for 3 months in a row, sometimes I give them 3 weeks, sometimes 3 months. It depends on what the task is that I think they need to be doing. I say, okay, here's your time period. If you still haven't done that task within that time period, you must agree to delegate at that point because it has to get done, right? You guys agree that it has to get done, but for some reason it's not getting done. So you need to set a time limit on yourself, 3 weeks, 3 months max. And if you don't get your follow-up done from your events on a regular basis, you need to realize that you will make more money if you get it done. If you can delegate it and pay someone to do some of these things for you, you can guarantee it's going to get done, right? Because you're paying somebody. You're paying someone to get it done. You're not really paying yourself to get it done, which case is why you're not doing it, because you're not getting paid to do it, although you really are getting paid to do it, because the more you do it, the more clients you'll gain, right? Honestly, the more clients or referrals you'll gain by doing massive amounts of follow-up rather than not doing it. So you will get paid, you just don't see it. So if you go pay a virtual assistant or even an intern or somebody local to do some of these things I'm telling you, you will see more sales. You'll see more referrals if you continue on a consistent basis and you bring in a lot more leads than you do the follow-up correctly, okay? So you have to understand that and know that it's just part of the cost of doing business. Delegating follow-up tasks and things like that is the cost of doing business. And so you really want to understand that, and I know I'm drilling it home in your head, but please, please, please understand it's the cost of doing business. It's like paying your webmaster. It's like paying for hosting on your website. It's like paying your cell phone bill, okay? Paying an assistant to do certain must-do tasks in your business is a cost of doing business. So start thinking like that, and you will be delegating the right tasks, okay? So I do have a 6-step follow-up system. And the first thing I see people aren't doing their follow-up is because they don't have an organized database, all right? So you go to an event and you come back with 20 business cards or 100 business cards, whatever it is, or even two, and you have no way to easily input that information into a database. Sometimes you have Constant Contact, MailChimp, you might have a shopping cart or Infusionsoft or one shopping cart, you might have Aweber, you might be using some other kind of shopping cart, you might be using Act, which is kind of outdated a little bit, but you might be using an Excel spreadsheet, okay? I don't care where it goes, it needs to go somewhere so that number one, you have an organized way to send an email out to that entire group of people, and you have an organized way to then either print mailing labels. If you're going to have 100 people to follow up from, you might want to print mailing labels because it might be faster than hand addressing all the direct mail pieces you're going to send, right? But if you're only sending 10 or 20 at a time, you could probably hand address it or delegate that to be done, honestly. Okay, but you still need to get these people into a database. And if you have a shopping cart, usually you need to enter it into an Excel spreadsheet first and then upload the Excel spreadsheet into a shopping cart or into an email marketing service in order to be able to put them into a list, right? Now, we want to put them into their own list. We don't just want to add everybody you meet into your main email newsletter list, okay? So this is so step number one is really database organization. It's figuring out how to segment and organize everybody that you're meeting and how to follow up with them accordingly via organizing them correctly inside a database. All right. So then that data entry, that should be delegated. The actual data entry can be totally delegated. So recently I've had an in-person assistant for about 6 months now, but I just had to switch the person out. Anyways, I have someone coming in, so it's nice because at least if she only comes in once or twice a week, I can have that data entry done by her, right? Because I know it'll get done by her. I've got all kinds of things to do. I should not be doing data entry. Neither should you, all right? So pay someone $5, $10 an hour. Maybe you can get a free intern, you know, whatever you can do, get that delegated. Then the second step is to develop messages and materials. So then you have to figure out, okay, what are you going to send and what are you going to say and what are you going to send, you know, how are you going to send it? And so what do you need? You want to not develop just salesy messages, but you want to develop strategic messages that will engage and interact with the people that you're following up with, right? And personal. This is why we want to sort them into their own list. So, for example, if you went to, let's just say, a Chamber of Commerce meeting, so the, you know, Jonestown Chamber of Commerce, whatever city you're in, right? Jonestown Chamber of Commerce, you went there, you met 20 people. Now, excuse me, when you're a speaker and you have a drawing, usually you tell people, okay, when you enter my drawing, you'll also be added to my email list, right? Okay, great. Then everybody that enters that drawing, whether you're speaking or you have an exhibitor table and you say everybody that enters my drawing will get added to my email newsletter list. Great. Those I call auto ads. Auto ads. So you can automatically go and add them straight to your email newsletter list. Okay. But the people that we meet when we're just attending an event or conference, and we may not necessarily talk about that with them, we might just exchange business cards. Oh, let me get your card. Okay, great. And then they walk off, and you didn't really have a long conversation. You cannot add those people to an email newsletter list. Do not do that. That is spamming. Okay, however, I have a whole strategy on following up with what I call not auto ads, not auto ads. So those people that we did not get approval necessarily by entering a drawing or even get verbal approval from that person to add them to my newsletter list, I do not. I put them in a not auto ad pile, okay? So, I mean, I teach you how to get the verbal approval in events and all that kind of stuff too, but that's a whole other conversation. That's like lead generation and networking, which I can share more about, but we don't have time on today's call. I'm really focused on the follow-up part of it. So you come back from the Jonestown Chamber of Commerce with, let's just say, 10 people that have said, yeah, I want to get your free gift or your newsletter, add me to your list. And then 10 people that you really didn't have that conversation with. So you have 10 business cards, though, and 10 people to follow up with in the not auto ad category. Then when you go into your database and you do your data entry, you want two different lists. You want the Jonestown Chamber of Commerce July 2015 auto ad list, and you want the Jonestown Chamber of Commerce July 2015 not auto ad list, okay? Because you're going to send them different things via email, especially. It's important on email, all right, that you send them different things on email because you don't want to be caught as a spammer and you don't want to be spamming people and adding people to lists that didn't want to be or didn't approve you to do that. All right, it's very important to segment that part. So when you get to step two and develop your messages and materials, you know, I have pretty much the same things I send on direct mail and the same things I say on phone calls, whether they're an auto ad or not auto ad. But in email, it's very important to say, you have not been added to my email list. I'm just following up from this event to see if you'd like to have a conversation or follow up to see if we can help each other, right? So you want to word it. The way you word that message and where you put that information of you have not been added to the list, I'm just following up with you from this event, I put it in the email three different places. I put it in the small print on top, I put it in the first paragraph, and I also put it in the PS at the end because people will miss it if you only mention it maybe one time. You got to be careful. And then if they mark you as a spammer in their email marketing program, like say they see you, maybe they didn't even open the email for a week after they met you and they forgot who you were and they don't remember meeting you and they're wondering why they're getting this email from you and they click and mark you as a spammer when they try to unsubscribe, you're going to get dinged. Okay? So you really have to be careful with the language that you use, in the wording that you use in there. That's why I have templates. So I've been doing this so long, I've really revised my templates now for follow-up, and I've been through the ringer, and I've done it all wrong, and I kept revising until now. It's pretty good, and I keep still revising and sending new templates out to the people who've purchased my follow-up system and all that, and my clients and the people that come to my event. I mean, I constantly revise some things, but for the most part, it's a really good, when you get that really good template, you can just copy, paste, send. And every time you go to a new event, you just pull up the old follow-up email for the Not Auto Ads, email number one, and you change where you met them. Oh, and so did the Jonesville Chamber. I met you at the eWomen Network event or the Public Speakers Association event. Okay, great. So you just change where you met them, maybe a couple other things in the wording, and you can just copy, paste, and send it out to the new group that you just entered from the next event. All right, that's the whole key with templates and making this easy to do and easy to delegate. Because once you get that template written the way you like it, with the right call to action, the right testimonials in there, the right wording, right, for the auto ads and the not auto ads, then you can delegate this step, right? So somebody else can go and enter the data. They can upload it to your email list. They can send out the appropriate follow-up email, change the appropriate things in there, and send. You don't have to touch it. You don't have to touch those emails again once you develop that initial template. I'm telling you, nobody stops to do these templates. And this is how I made it so easy, I can't even tell you. And people don't stop to do this. And if all you did was stop to do this, and it took you half a day or whatever to figure it out, think of all the upcoming events you have for the next 1, 2, 13 years in your business that you can actually just go pull the old template, change where you met them, send it out to the new list. Done. You can delegate that, okay? So I can't even make it any easier unless I did it myself for you. So honestly, I mean, I want you to understand that this can be really easy. Okay, and hopefully you're seeing, oh yeah, I see that, you know, if I have templates, I can delegate this out. If you're thinking, I can't afford to delegate anything right now, then you're thinking too small. You're thinking too small, because the more people you follow up with in multiple different ways, the more clients you're going to get, the more money you're going to make. It'll pay for itself. You have to trust me. It will pay for itself if you're doing it the correct way. But you got to do more than email. So when we're talking about developing messages and your materials, you need the email templates, and I send a series. I mean, I can't get into all the stuff, but there's like a series of three emails. We send the not auto ads and at least one email to the auto ads, because they're added to the list after that. Okay, so they're added to the regular email list, and hopefully you have regular email newsletters going out, which you should. But beyond the emails, you got to do direct mail, right? So we have a series of three postcards that I do, and I usually recommend a series of three touches, especially for the not auto ads, because the goal of the not auto ads and the follow-up is to actually get them what? On the list. So we want to entice them with stuff that they can go on our website and grab or download or opt in for from those direct mail pieces. So the not auto ads, the goal of the direct mail piece is to go drive them to a thing on our website that they can get for free. It's not necessarily to set up a phone call with us, because that's usually not the first step people want to take with you. Okay, so don't think that you're just going to offer them a free consult and everybody's going to sign up, because most people probably will not. All right, so we need some other sort of freebies, free downloads, free opt-ins. There's a whole bunch of free stuff that you can develop. I don't care what business you are. We just need to have a phone conversation and figure out what those look like. And then you can have things to offer those not auto ads to entice them to get on your email list, okay? Because then you can continue to market to them once on the email list. So then in the phone calls, plain and simple, right? You do the same kind of thing you would say from the template emails, which, you know, there's a whole script in there. You could just basically read the same thing that's in the email on the phone call. Because most of the time, usually about 70% of the time, I get voicemail when I do my follow-up phone calls. And I still do follow-up phone calls to almost every single person I meet. And I recommend you call everybody, not just the hot prospects that you meet, but everybody. And you treat them as potential referral sources, not just prospects, okay? So it's important when you're out networking and doing this kind of stuff that you're not just looking for prospects. I see a lot of people that look around the room and say, financial planner, nope, don't need to know her. Roofing guy, nope, don't need to know him. Psychic healer, nope, don't need to know her. Oh, I need to know the speaker over here, and I need to know that event planner, and I need to know this person. That's really narrow-minded when you do that. You want to be looking at every single person in the room when you're networking as a potential referral source. Because everybody, you know, you've heard the thing, everybody knows at least 250 people, right? And you never know who knows your next client. And it could be that they actually need you, depending on what you do, and you just didn't give them the time of day, right? But they could end up being a really good referral source, so you just never know. So I always look at everybody as a potential referral source or a joint venture opportunity, and then if they turn out to be a prospect, great, right? And you definitely want to call the hot prospects first, right? So, but you don't want to not call and not follow up or not connect with all the other people because you just never know. So just be careful doing that. So then in addition to email marketing, phone calls, direct mail, you want to make sure that you're doing follow-up now on social media, okay? A lot of times people will check their Facebook inbox before they check their email. And so if you can find people that you really want to connect with, especially the hot and warm contacts over on Facebook or LinkedIn or maybe Twitter if you're really an active Twitter person, then if you could find them over there and send them a private message, you can send them a similar message to your email in the thing, in the private message chat box. Or you could say, hey, I just sent out a follow-up email. Go check it, and if you could respond, that'd be great. I really want to follow up with you in the private message, right? So you really want to follow up now via social media because a lot of times you will get them over there before you get them on email because people get too many emails, and they're just not looking at most of their emails anymore, especially the random ones, you know, or things that look like newsletters or that they don't recognize, they won't actually look at these days. So be careful relying only on email. It's really dangerous. All right, so step number three of the follow-up system is develop your system, right? So which templates are you going to use? When are you going to send them? How often are you going to send them? What do they look like? What does your postcard look like? How are you going to get that designed? And really figuring out the system. You know, I can tell my assistant right now, here's the system for our follow-up. And it's all written down, so she would know. I could just give her the system and give her the business cards, and she could go get it done. Okay, it's that simple now. So when I go to a live event and come back with business cards, boom, I hand over the business cards, and the follow-up gets done. It gets done. For the most part. I mean, I've just gone through a transition of assistants, so I'm a little behind in my follow-up, honestly. But it happens, right? So you've got to make sure you have that written down system of what's going to be sent, when it's going to be sent, where is the template, how to find it, how to adjust it, you know, how to make the phone calls. You know, the phone calls is really the only thing I don't delegate is the phone calls. Now, I say that, and then I just recently hired someone to follow up from a recent teleclass that I held. So she's actually making phone calls from a teleclass, but honestly, she's made quite a few phone calls, and I haven't seen results. So I don't know that delegating phone calls is going to be the right approach. So usually I get better results when I make the phone call because people are like, oh, my gosh, she's calling me herself, right? And so it's just you want to be careful delegating too much that it's not effective. So that's where the question is on the phone calls. Most everything else can be delegated. Step number four is delegate, automate, and manage. I've kind of talked about that all the way through here. But you got to make sure that once your system is developed, now it's time, okay, who's going to do it? It may not be the current assistant you already have. Maybe they're too busy. Maybe this is not their forte. Maybe they're not good on the phone. Maybe they don't like to do the stuffing and folding, and maybe they don't want to do the addressing. Maybe they're not in person. Maybe, you know, so find the right person to do the right task. You might need more than one person in order to do these things and other things that you need to delegate. Step number five is track, analyze, and revise. So you really want to make sure you're tracking your results. So watch your emails, watch all the follow-up, and watch the who comes in as a paid customer, a paid client from which events. You know, I can say that I would say 9 out of 10 times when I speak at an event, whether it's local or across the country, I will get a minimum of a $7,500 client, at least one client. And so it usually pays $7,500. Overall, on average, okay, because I've been doing it enough. I've tracked it enough. I've seen the results. But if not, then you need to revise and analyze and where to change things and how to change things up and how to add more of this and take away more of that, whatever it is you need to do. So that's where a lot of times I come in and help people is, you know, once we get this initial thing set up, then we have to look at it and track it and revise it possibly. So just be open to that. And step number 6 is continue building your list and repeat. So it's basically repeat, rinse and repeat, right? More revenue generating activities that are going to lead to more leads that you need to follow up with. I mean, it's plain and simple, right? So a lot of times people will not do enough marketing and reaching out to new potential leads. They don't have enough people to follow up with. Therefore, they don't have enough people to talk to every month in sales conversations. And that's why they're not making enough money. So more marketing, more lead generation, more revenue generating activities, a really good follow-up system in place can lead to a really consistent revenue generating business. I don't care what industry or business you're in. That can happen. So there you go. And I'm happy to offer you guys, you know, there's a bunch of free stuff on my website. if you go to my resources page, katrinasawa.com, katrinasawa, SAWA.com/resources, there's a bunch of free stuff there. You can sign up for the free entrepreneurs, the free gift on the top, or on that page, there's like free webinars, free audio classes on different topics. And it's a great place to start with me. I'm happy to talk with anybody, too, in a free call. So if you want to go to askkat.biz, askkat.biz, that's K-A-T, you can come and talk with me in a complimentary strategy session. We can really get you squared away with this and everything else you're doing in your business so that you're not working so hard and you're making more money. And if you wanted to come to my event in November, I've never done this on these kinds of summits before, but I'm willing to give a free scholarship to anybody who's listening on the PSA summit this month. So you just have to go to livebigevents.com/free scholarship, and that's free. It's a $900 value, 3-day event in Sacramento. We go over all of this and so much more. It's ridiculous. So there you go.